I'll be reading Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 to 27. Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 to 27. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?"
Thank you, Simon. Good morning. Again, great to see everyone today. As we consider our text this morning, rains from falling from the sky is something we haven't seen in a little while. So we might have to dig into our memory banks a little bit. You know, I was thinking about this particular text and those who encountered Jesus as they came to him and said, "Lord, I'll follow you anywhere." And then I believe that some of those that may have been walking with him when they encountered the storm may have thought again. You know, when I lived in Memphis, I got an opportunity to see a great deal of Arkansas. And, you know, but there in, I guess it would be East Arkansas and West Tennessee, the ground is flat. You can see from one zip code to another almost like you can in Oklahoma. And in some of those places there, I remember going over near Searcy, actually, to preach. And on my way back, there was a storm that was brewing off in the distance as we were getting over into, really, really over into East Arkansas. And there in that flat land, we could see the storm coming. And I thought that was really kind of neat. I like to watch storms. You know, people look at me and they think, "What is wrong with you?" But I do like to watch storms, and I like to watch them, though, at a safe distance. And as we were coming down 40, actually, we could drive a little while and then stop, and I could get out and I could watch the storm while Stephanie and the kids were making a bathroom break, and I enjoyed watching the storm until it got closer, and then it was time to go, because didn't want to be there when the storm got there. And we kept doing that all the way into Memphis. And when we got there, we got there safely in time, and the storm blew on past us, and actually, most of it broke up when it hit the Mississippi River, so we were on the other side by the time it got there. It's kind of neat to watch storms, though, I think, but when you're watching those physical storms, sometimes you can see them coming, and you can get yourself out of the way. And other times you can hear them coming and you can protect yourself from those things. You know, we've got all this Doppler radar and all of these weather guys coming along, you know, and all these kinds of things. And as much as we make fun of them not being able to predict the weather very accurately, truth be known, when storms come, a lot of times they're very helpful and we're very thankful for that. But when we talk about storms that we're weathering in this life, I bet you're not thinking about thunderstorms or snowstorms. No, you're thinking about a difficult situation, maybe a broken relationship, maybe going through a financial crisis, maybe it's legal problems that have come up from nowhere. It just seems like those things can pop up sometimes, and it may be any kind of unpleasant or painful truth. It might be health problems. It might be the death of someone we love. It might be dealing with rebellious children. It might be dealing with someone who's created public disgrace. It might be laying off from work or dealing with a conflictual situation in work or even in the Lord's church. Sometime in our lives, we're all going to face these kinds of storms. The truth is there are only two kinds of people in this world. Those who are going through crisis and those who are going to go through a crisis. And I was thinking on these things, and I happened to see something, an old preacher's tale about a parakeet named Chippy. You know, Chippy was a little parakeet. He was there swinging in his little bird cage. He was having time of his life. Now, Chippy's owner, well, decided to clean the cage. So Chippy's owner opened the little side of the cage and took the end off the vacuum cleaner and put the vacuum cleaner in there and was cleaning the cage. And then the phone rang. And you know how we all do when the phone rings. Oh! And next thing you know, thump! Chippy went in the vacuum cleaner. Well, the owner, you know, the person, she ran to go overtake the part of the vacuum cleaner, and she got Chippy out, you know. And Chippy used to be quite a songbird, but Chippy was kind of dirty and dusty now. He had all kind of grime all over him. And so she did what she knew to do. She took Chippy to the bathroom, and she ran water all over him and washed him up. You ever seen a bird take a bath? You know, they'll take like a drop of water and here, there, you know. Well, she just washed him all good like you would a dog, you know, just. And then she did the next thing that she knew to do. Chippy's all wet. She took the blow dryer. So now Chippy looks like. Someone asked the owner later and said, well, so how's Chippy doing? Well, Chippy doesn't sing so much anymore. Truth be known, in life, Chippy was sucked up, stuffed down, poured water all over, and blown in the face. And that sort of stole his song. And you know, as we hear stories like that, we can smile, but we know that life sort of treats us that way sometimes. We're not expecting it. We're just singing our song. We're happy as we can be. And then one, two, three, four. The next thing we know, the storms of life have just stolen our song. Stolen our joy. Stolen hope. And as we consider that this morning, I know that we are all dealing with some kind of storm. We're all dealing with some kind of storm. And we're told from the time we're children to look for the silver lining. Look for the silver lining. That's real easy to say until it's your storm that you're dealing with. And then when those storms come, some of us turn to complaining and anger. We turn to all kinds of things that I just can't help but classify as being Debbie Downers when the storms come. You know, I wonder. It's interesting about this Debbie Downer situation that we will complain so much that we're not disappointed when life storms come. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we complain so much that we cover up the fact that we've been disappointed. And when life throws us one of those curves, why, we can handle it just fine. We just keep right on going the way we have been. You know, some deal with the storms of life in passive-aggressive ways. These are the folks that are the control fanatics, you know, because when the storms come, we're out of control, so we want to do that. You know, and guys, we have a tendency to do that, by the way. Some turn to anger, and they hide that by being impossible to please. No matter what happens, they've always got a problem. You give them $1 million, well, I got to pay tax on it. What? Well, you see, if I'm not too happy, then I won't get disappointed when life throws me a curve. And it could be that we're not going to behave that way. We're going to be the one who obsesses over every little thing to the point that we alienate everybody around us because we're obsessed with every little detail. I knew a guy. I had a boss one time that wouldn't let anybody even help him mow his grass because it had to be cut in a certain way. The paths had to, when I pull up, I want the paths in my yard to be cut a certain direction. He obsessed over every little detail when it came to those things, and he would find himself alienating other people. I'm sure we all know complainers, control fanatics, angry people. I'm sure we know the obsessors. And then there are those who seem to handle the problems in life with a great deal of grace. I just wonder about those folks sometimes. Those who handle all of the storms of life with so much grace. How do they do it? Well, I believe I have the answer, but it's not simple. It may sound simple, but it's not. You see, some people choose to latch on to the blessings in life. They look at things through the blessings in life, whereas others latch on to disappointment. When we latch on to the blessings in life, we make God our foundation. He's the center of our lives. But when we allow disappointment to be the thing that we latch on to, what happens is we depend so much on ourselves and we know our own weaknesses. We apply so much pressure to ourselves. Even if we can deal with it, we hide it in one of those ways that sort of alienates us from other people, even our brothers and sisters in Christ. By latching on to this disappointment, we find ourselves needing to consider carefully the parable of the wise builder that we find in Matthew chapter 7. There we find that the one who latched on to disappointment or latched on to his own way built his foundation on the sand. And last week when we were singing Vacation Bible School, we know what happens to the house that's built on sand. Collapse. You know, most of you know that my family has experienced some unexpected loss this year. Stephanie's stepmother was ill, and we knew that. We were expecting that. And she went through a long period of time dealing with lung cancer, and then she passed away. What we weren't expecting was 9 days later, her father passed away. And when you go through all of those storms, you can hang on to the God, why me? Or you can think about it this way. Why not me? Because you see, there were some blessings that came out of these tragedies in our lives. Yes, Stephanie and her brother were closer. His in-laws were all closer. There were some blessings that came out of these things. There were some good things that came out, many of which I couldn't get into right now. But there were many blessings, and even that closeness provided some help as additional trials have come down the road for them. Latching on to the blessings makes a difference. So the question for us today is that when the storms of life come, what are we going to latch on to? The blessings or disappointment? Paul writes to the church of Philippi and he said, I can do all things through Christ. There's the key. When we make Christ the central foundation, there we will find the joy that the world cannot understand. But I'm afraid that too many times we want to go the easy way, which is to hold on to disappointment. You know, when we look at Mark's account of this situation, we see at Mark chapter 4, verse 36, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also little ships along with him. And there arose a great storm, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awoke him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now we need to notice some important points here. They were dealing with real life-threatening storms. Sometimes we think about these things that we find accounts of in God's Word as nice little Bible class stories for the children, and then when we become adults, we forget the importance of this. These things took place, and these people were facing life-threatening storms. The boat was filling up with water. The wind was beating on the boat, and Jesus was asleep in the back. Now, I want you to notice something to begin with. When we look at this account, we see that there were other little ships in the water. Sometimes when we face storms in our lives, we think that we're the only ones that are dealing with it. But the fact of the matter is, when the storms come, they affect a lot of people. We may be the center point of the storm, but storms affect a lot of people. Now, with this life-endangering situation and the boat filling with water, I'm sure that they were bailing with all they had. They were trying to get that water out of the boat. And Jesus was asleep in the back of the ship, and Mark said they woke him up. I don't think that they went back there and said, excuse me, Jesus. I've been in situations where I thought my life was in danger. And I assure you, my communication was not, oh, excuse me, I think we have a problem here. Don't you imagine that they were screaming at him? Savior! Savior! We're about to capsize. We're about to sink. And then they said it. They said, don't you even care that we're going to perish? Have you ever felt that way? When the storms were coming your way, God, do you even see me? Do you care? They said it to Jesus' face. And then I think about my Savior hanging on that cross at Calvary, on my behalf, saying, Father, forgive him. He has no idea what he's doing. When we challenge him and say, do you even care? Don't you know that hurts him? But when we're scared, we're not thinking that way, are we? We're not thinking that way. We're holding on to disappointment. We're holding on to the physical things in this life. And we're only looking at those things that we can see right directly in front of us and around us. Folks, when we do that, we're just simply being selfish. We are just simply being selfish. Maybe we are dealing with a storm, some of those terrible things. Everything's breaking down at the house at the same time, or the unruly child, or the horrible diagnosis. It might be that we just held the hand of a loved one that passed into eternity. Whatever it was, when we accuse Jesus of not caring, we have to be hurting him. Would you agree? Mark chapter 4, verse 39, we read, and he rose, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. Now the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he looked at them and he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that the wind and the sea obey him? Notice first that Jesus calmed the storm. He challenged them and he challenges us. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? And then they begin to latch onto the blessings of the one who has the power over the wind and the sea. The question for us is, will we dare to latch on to the blessings of Christ? He's placed them before us. You know, sometimes we suffer through storms in life, and it is there that we find the opportunity to know just how powerful our God truly is. Obviously, this situation, when we go back to our text, had a big impact on them. And by inspiration, Matthew records these things much later. And I've wondered, why do you think it's so important for us to know about this event? In 3 years of living and traveling with Jesus, there were certainly other incidents that were left out. I think the key is in the response of the disciples after Jesus calmed the storm. In Matthew 8 and 27, we read, "What kind of man is this?" The answer is God in man. For he has the power to still the wind and calm the sea. You know, I wonder if in the years that went by, if Matthew, Mark, and the others had smiles on their faces as they began to look at Psalm 89 and 8 and 9. Where there we read, "O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea, and when its waves mount up, you still them." You will never in this life face any circumstance, trial, or storm that is too big for Jesus to handle. And as we go through these trials, let us latch on to the blessings that we find in this life. James tells us, James chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom," I think we overlook this way too many times. "If any of you lack wisdom," "let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. And to him it shall be given. But let him ask in faith now, not wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea that's driven in the wind and tossed." When we face the storms of life, friends, it is a matter of perspective as to whether or not we're going to sit down and ball up within ourselves or whether we're going to stand. You know, the theme that's often displayed in those muscle gyms is no pain, no gain. And you know, when I read James chapter 1 here, I get that same idea, spiritually speaking. No pain, no gain. And as we have pain, we will have gain if we will put our faith in the Almighty God. Why are we so fearful? Instead of complaining and being angry and alienating everyone with our control issues or obsessing things to the point of disorder, let us look for God in the storm and ask for wisdom to make it to a safe harbor. God wants us to trust Him. He gives us many opportunities, but I wonder how many times we run in fear. Now, the people in the boat with Jesus, they didn't have any place to run. Truth of the matter is, I think sometimes in our own lives, we find ourselves in positions where we don't feel like we've got a place to run either. And I'm not a prophet, but I know that just about everyone in here is facing some sort of storm, some sort of trial in life. Some are great, some are small. It just may be that your storm today is only rocking your boat a little bit. And it might be that the rain is so hard you can't see which way to go. Would you dare to let Jesus save you today? You see, if we're going to depend on Him to save us, we've got to take the lifeline that He throws out to us. He tells us that we need to truly believe that He is the Son of God. And that means we're going to trust that lifeline. We're going to grab hold. And that means that we're going to make a change. We're not just going to keep sitting there and dealing with these things. We're going to grab hold. And that means to change, and repentance is what change is all about. That means to turn away from those things that are unfaithful and unparalleled to God's plan, and to put Him first in our lives. Jesus tells us, as we hold on to that rope, to confess Him before others in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. And in order to reach salvation, we need to have our sins washed away in that humble and obedient act of baptism we read in Mark 16, 16. With these things in mind today, if you've not done those things to grab hold of that life-saving rope that Jesus has provided for you, today is the day and all things are ready. But if, as a child of God, like Peter, when you stepped out onto the rough seas, you got your focus off Jesus, somewhere along the line, the storm caught your attention, don't let Satan callous your mind and heart this morning. You need Jesus for salvation. You need to open yourself up to Him. This morning, as we sing a song of invitation, won't you grab hold of that lifeline? Won't you take hold now as together we stand and sing?